Good morning. Thank you. Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to be here. It's been a while. I think it was pre-COVID the last time I was here, and so it's really, really good to be back here with you all this morning. Like Michael said, my name is Jordan. You can go to the next slide. My wife's name is Jessica, and we have a 2.5-year-old son named Jaden. And so they unfortunately couldn't make it today. My son was sick last night, not feeling well, and so they stayed home. But I'm super excited to be here. My wife is actually also pregnant right now, and so we are expecting our second child at the beginning of the year, January, start of January sometime. Thank you. So yeah, we're really excited about that. So this morning, like Michael said, I just want to share an update. If some of you have been here before for a while, you might recognize me. My wife and I lived in China for a while, came back, and now do ministry with students at UT. And so you can go to the next slide. So I'm just going to start by sharing what we did real quick in China, and then, you know, what we're doing now. So real quick, from 2015 to 2019, we lived in China. So we lived 2 years in northern China, and then 2 years in southern China. You can go to the next slide. And so the first 2 years we were there, we taught at a Christian international school in China. Both my wife and I's background is in education, and so we taught at Tianjin International School. And then the next 2 years, we moved to southern China, and we studied Mandarin full-time at a school called Mandarin Fun. They did their best to make it fun. And then we served with an organization called Future Hope, which is a group of Chinese believers that are focused on serving orphans with disabilities in China. And so that's what we were involved in China. In 2019, unexpectedly, we had visa problems. Living overseas, your visa is like your life that allows you to do and be places. And so when you have visa problems, it's also often a very bad thing. And so when we had those problems, it forced us to come back to America. This was pre-COVID. COVID didn't even exist at that time. And so we were very confused, sad, disappointed that we had to come back here. Nothing personal, but that's what we felt like God wanted us to do, is be in China, and we had to come home. And so this morning, the message I'm going to share with you is about plans. How do we look at plans from God's perspective? That's what we're going to look at this morning. But that is what we did in China. That's why we came back in 2019. You go to the next slide. So what am I doing now? What are we involved in now? So now I kind of am under two umbrellas at UT, at the University of Toledo. So I teach an ESL course, one course to international students at a school called ALI, the American Language Institute. And so I have a student from Libya, I have two students from Saudi Arabia, I have a student from Mexico, a student from South Korea, and a student from Kuwait. And so there's actually a big number of international students at UT. And so that's what I do. I teach one course. And then I also serve with an organization called Global Opportunities at UT. And so each bubble under there is what we do. So I'm going to kind of quickly go through those. You can go to the next slide. So Junior, in his video, he mentioned that he was kind of welcomed into a family to learn English and things, right? And so that is exactly what the hospitality program is. The hospitality program invites a student, if they sign up, to be matched to an American family that signs up to be a part of the program. And this is essentially to provide like a family atmosphere for them, you know, being away from home. And so my wife and I did this past year. We had two students from Iran, and it's just been awesome getting to know them, to invite them to events and things like that. So that's one. You go to the next slide. Next thing we do is called conversation partners. So one of my students from Saudi Arabia, I became his conversation partner. And so what we do is we just meet once a week to chat in English. That's it. It's more, you know, it's for them to practice their English. That's a huge thing they need. And they just need people who are willing to serve them and talk with them in English. It's pretty easy. And it also just creates kind of an instant friendship for them as well. So I do that as well. Go to the next slide. Another English thing is called English Corner. It's a small group conversation class. So I bring a topic, sometimes about American culture. I try to also lean into spiritual topics to kind of foster that communication. And again, this is to serve them in their learning English needs. And so this was pre-COVID. I had a class on campus. You can go to the next slide. During COVID, we moved online to do Zoom. And so I still do one Zoom English Corner a week, Thursday evenings. And then here in a few weeks, I'm going to be starting another in-person one on campus for students. So that's another thing that's going on. You can go to the next slide. The final specific way we serve students is called the Household Items Giveaway. So this is me and my friend, his name is Wes, and he leads this program of giving furniture to students. And so you wouldn't think about it, but this is a huge need for international students who come here. So if you just imagine you're going to a new country like coming here, you get your apartment and there's nothing. You know, there's nothing in it. You have nothing. You bring your two suitcases and that's it. You don't know anybody. You have no way of knowing how to get furniture, a truck, to move it to your apartment. It's a big need for students. And so Wes, 10 or so years ago, had felt a call from God to meet this need. And God, it's an amazing story. God provided him with free warehouse space. And so anyone that wants to donate furniture in this Toledo area, he will come and get it from them in his truck in the background. You can go to the next slide. He'll pick it up for free. He takes it to his warehouse to store it. We take students to go there and pick out furniture for free, and we take it to their apartment for free. Okay, so this is a huge way to serve students, and it makes a big impact on them that strangers would do this for them and serve them in this way. And we're often kind of the first people they meet when they come here because they get their apartment and they need stuff. And so it's a huge way that we serve them as well. You can go to the next slide. And so then just in general, my family, my wife and I and our son, our main goal is just to build strong relationships with these students so that they know no matter what, we love and care for them. And we will be there for them if they need us for anything. And so we do that just by hanging out together. We have dinner together. You can go to the next slide. We just invite them to cultural, seasonal things that we all enjoy. So this was just going to a pumpkin patch, hayride type of thing. You go to the next slide. My wife and I like to run, so we invited them to do a 5K together. Not many signed up. But, you know, just things that we like to do, just inviting people along. You can go to the next slide. We love to go to parks. I took them to a Mud Hens game. You go to the next slide. And then also just going to their world. And so this was an event on campus at UT by the Chinese Association for Chinese New Year. That's their biggest holiday. And so I volunteered there. I can speak some Chinese, and so I could help. And so I just went and volunteered. So it was just a great way to build those relationships with them. You can go to the next slide. And so kind of, you know, why? Why do we do all these specific things to serve them? The first one, again, is just to build that connection with students, to build that friendship. We're in their lives. They know that we genuinely love and care for them when they come here. And that's a huge thing for them, to know that there's American people here that love them and care for them. And then as we do that, you know, it inevitably comes up to have an opportunity to share about our faith, to share about our faith in Jesus that impacts everything about our lives. That inevitably comes up. It should, as a believer. And so we take those opportunities, okay? Now, for some students, you can just see it on their face. They have no interest, you know, whatsoever. When we talk about these spiritual things, you know, you can see it. There's just no interest. And so we respect that, okay? That doesn't mean we don't continue to talk about it, but we respect it. We don't push too much. For some students, interest grows over time. They might not be too interested, but over time, they might, even after they leave Toledo. We've had students contact us to ask us questions even after they left here. And then for some students, they're interested right away. They start asking questions. You know, they're really, you can tell that God's kind of working on their hearts to learn more. And so for those, for anyone that's interested, we invite them to studies, Bible studies. So either existing ones or we make new ones, okay? And so that is kind of the way that we just clearly demonstrate and show students who God is and what does the Bible say, is to invite them to a study. And so that is kind of the broad view and picture of what we do. So I just want to share two brief, like, specific stories with you about, you know, what's kind of happened with a few students in the last year or two. And so one Chinese friend that we have, a really good friend, I'm just going to call her MH, I don't want to use her real name. During her time in Toledo, we had the opportunity to serve her in a variety of those ways, my wife and I. And my wife and her just kind of had a really strong connection. And so she became interested in learning about Jesus pretty early on. And I can't tell you how many studies she went through, not just with us, but with other believers in the Toledo area and the church that she was going to at the time. So she had so many opportunities to learn the truth. She then graduated and decided to try to find a job here in America, which is not necessarily an easy thing to do for international students. And so we were helping her. It was a long process. She ended up finding one in Michigan. And so my wife and I had the opportunity to take her there, to move her in, to kind of settle her in there. But deep down, I was nervous that this move was going to kind of cause this seeking in her to fizzle out. You know, you move to a new place, it's a new setting, all the Christian influence she had in Toledo was going to be gone. I didn't know what was going to happen. And so we were just praying that God would continue to work in her. We kept in contact, And then just a few weeks ago, she mentioned to us that through her job, it seemed like a coincidence, but God was clearly kind of leading. There was this Chinese believer in Michigan that they got to know each other. And so this Chinese believer invited her to a Chinese church in Michigan. And so it was just a huge way that God kind of showed that he's continuing to work on her and through her. She's come a long way in her faith. Just this past week when my wife and I told her that my wife is expecting, that we're going to have our second child, she texted my wife and said that she's praying for her and for her pregnancy. So even just that is huge. Like, she's never said anything like that to us before. So just continue to pray for her and that God would continue to guide her journey in Michigan. Another story I showed you earlier with English Corner, I had to move it to Zoom. With the studies that I did with scholars and students at UT, mainly Chinese, before COVID, we did them all in person. Because, you know, that's usually best to do things in person. But then COVID hit, and many of them returned to China. And so again, I was like, well, that's probably just going to end. It's probably just going to be done. But, you know, slowly talking to them, text messaging with them, many of them were still interested in learning more. And so again, we moved Bible studies onto Zoom. And so I've been doing them ever since. And so even just that, seeing that, you know, these scholars and students still had a desire to learn, and to know that for many of them, this journey of learning about God is a long journey. If you think, for many, I'll just say Chinese students and scholars, you know, most of their lives, they're going up in a setting, if they don't have any Christian influence, they're going up in a setting that's telling them there's no God, you know? That's their worldview for maybe 30, 40 years of their life. So if you just imagine you believe that for that long, and then you start to open up this book and start to read something else, for most of them, that is not a quick change, you know, a quick worldview change for them. It takes time. It takes hearing the stories over and over again and personalizing them. That often leads to faith. And so I'm continuing to do these studies on Zoom with many of my friends who are back in China. And I'm going to be starting a new one here in the next few weeks. So I just ask that you would pray that as many as possible would join, and that God would continue to work on their hearts to draw them to him. So that is what I'm involved in now with students at UT. And so, like I said before, doing all this was not our plan at all. We thought we'd be in China right now, continuing to work there. And so, you know, I think all of us can relate with that. All of us can relate with times where God clearly kind of, if you want to say, pulled the rug out from under our plans and showed us something that he wanted for our lives that's better. And so that's what we're going to look at this morning from the book of James. So you can go to the next slide. If you want to open your Bibles with me, if you have them, we're going to be looking at a very short passage this morning in James 4. James 4, 13 to 17, that talks about this. I understand you all have been going through Proverbs, more good sense, and James is kind of known as the Proverbs of the New Testament, the way that it's written. And so that's why we're going to look at this today. So let me pray before we get started. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word this morning, to hear from you. I pray that you would challenge us, that you would challenge the way that we see our lives, that we see you, the way that we understand you. And I pray that you would give us soft hearts, Lord. That you would soften our hearts to what you want to do in us, and just soften us to who you are and who we are in you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the book of James is written by James, clearly. James is the half-brother of Jesus. And he was a prominent leader in the Jerusalem church during this time when he was writing this letter. And he's writing this letter to scattered communities of believers throughout the Roman Empire at the time. And so this book resembles that of Proverbs in that it's a combination of wisdom and brief teaching. If you read James, sometimes it's hard to know, like, you know, where is he going with this? Because it kind of flows freely from topic to topic. It's very different than Paul's letters, because Paul's letters often kind of flow sequentially through different ideas, you know. It's kind of more easily followed. But James, it kind of jumps a little bit, which Proverbs does as well, as you've probably seen. And so let's read this short passage, Proverbs 13 to 17. So it says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that.' As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, it is sin. So again, our focus this morning from James is asking, you know, what can we learn from this passage about planning? How does God want us to view planning in our lives? Okay, what is important to him in this area? And the way we're going to look at this is to ask three questions. Okay, the first one is, what is this passage not saying? Okay, we're going to look at what it's not saying first. Then we're going to look at, what is this passage saying? And then the third thing, what do we do about it? Like, what are we called to do? Okay, so first, what is James 4, 13 to 17 not saying? The first thing it's not saying is that planning is itself is sinful or wrong. Okay, when we read verse 13 here, one could maybe walk away assuming that James is kind of railing against making future plans in general, okay, as if planning itself is sinful, but that's not the case. If you look down at verse 16, where James explains more about the boastful planning, you know, what is he speaking out against? Well, if you look at it, he's saying that boasting is evil, not that planning is evil. It's the boasting, the prideful arrogance that underestimates our own limitations and dependence on God. That's what he's speaking out against. Okay. Another way we know that James is not saying future planning is sinful is that we see other important figures in the Bible planning and thinking about the future. Okay, take Paul, for example. There are numerous times where the Apostle Paul talks about his future plans in Acts and his other letters. Here are just a few. In Acts 18:21, he says this, "I will return again to you, God willing." In 1 Corinthians 4:19, he says, "But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills." And then in 1 Corinthians 16:7, he says, "I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits." Okay, so you'll notice, you probably saw a theme in there of, like, you know, Paul's heart towards his planning, you know, that he was doing as James recommends us with, you know, recognizing God, but he is still planning, right? He's planning what he's going to do. So this is the first thing James is not saying. He's not saying that planning itself is sinful. Okay, so then what's the second thing he's not saying? The second thing he's not saying is to just change the way we talk. Okay, when we see James focus on, you know, in verse 13 he says, "Those of you who say," and then in verse 15 he says, "You ought to say." You know, we might be tempted to think that this is just a matter of our speech. He just wants us to change, you know, how we talk about things. And, you know, for us, this is a tempting thing to kind of walk away from this passage and think, because it's in our, you know, we can easily just change the way we talk about things and look more spiritual and more Christian and think that that's just what James is asking of us. It's easier to do that. Well, how can we tell that this isn't just what James is telling us to do? This isn't his heart here. Well, if you look throughout all of Scripture, there's kind of a broad theme that kind of comes forth as you read throughout the whole Bible. And it's kind of summarized in Isaiah 29:13. Here's what it says. "And so the Lord says, 'These people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote.'" So what is God's primary concern here in this passage in Isaiah? What he's most concerned about is worship of him that flows from people's hearts or affections for him. In the Old Testament, God was never satisfied or pleased with rote worship, sacrifices, or praise. His primary concern was and is our hearts, our affections towards him, that then lead to how we act and behave. Okay? And then Jesus brought this message forth even clearer in the Sermon on the Mount that he shared, showing that sinful actions like adultery and hate and other things don't just happen on the outside. It's what we believe in our hearts and our minds. That is what is sinful. It's what's inside of us. Okay? So this brings home a resounding message in the Bible from beginning to end that God does not just want our lip service. It's not just about how we talk. He wants everything we say and do to flow from our changed hearts, which is why James is not just telling us to change how we speak. Okay, so what is James telling us then? We know that he's not telling us to just care about how we talk, and he's not telling us that planning is sinful. What is he saying? First thing, he's telling us that because of the fall, we have a corrupt heart that desires to live life on our own terms, as our own gods, independent of the one true God. when we read this passage, at least for me, I honestly start to question, you know, how big of a deal is it to talk about our plans in this way? You might feel the same thing when you read this. You know, is it that big of a deal to really talk about our plans like in verse 13 here? Isn't God being a bit nitpicky here with, you know, giving James this message to give to us? But as I studied for this and read into it further, this honestly isn't so much about planning. Okay, this is what, you know, James is addressing this topic, but it goes much deeper than that for us, all of us. It goes all the way back to the beginning in Genesis. Because of Adam and Eve's decision to follow the way of Satan, to essentially declare themselves independent of God by their own choosing, they sacrificed the humble, dependent relationship with God that we were all created for. We saw Jesus model for us. Isaiah 53:6 sums this up. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. We're now all born with a prideful, selfish, self-absorbed heart that sees ourselves as God and trusts and depends and praises ourselves, which James describes in verse 16 as boasting, you know, that this boasting is evil. He also shows that this corrupted heart that we have inevitably disregards our limitations as finite beings. We think that, you know, we're just going to live forever and do the things we want to do. But in verse 14, James reminds us how our lives are fleeting. We can be here one day and gone the next. And how little control we actually have. I think these last few years in this world have reminded us all of this. So the corruption of our hearts towards God is one of the things James is bringing forth. The second thing he tells us here is because of the gospel, we can have renewed hearts that don't just give lip service to God, but so trust in him and his character that we ultimately desire his plans over our own. And we can peacefully and confidently declare when we talk about our plans, like Paul did, what we just read, if God wills, da da da. Okay, saying this statement from the depth of our heart reveals two things. It reveals that you have a right view of the sovereignty of God. Okay, that he is the one that determines what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen throughout all creation, which of course includes our own personal lives. Okay, a second thing that saying this statement from our heart reveals is that we trust in and depend on and are confident in God's character, in the ways that he wants his will to be worked out in our lives, even if it's different than our own. As we looked, we still have to make plans in our lives. That's inevitable. All of us have to plan things on a day-to-day basis. And we should do that with as much discernment as we can, of course. But ultimately, it comes down to God knows what's best, and he has the power to bring it about. We don't. Okay? And we see this dependence embodied perfectly in the life of Jesus, who so trusted and desired his Father's plan that he was willing to take it all the way to the cross. Can we read in John 5:3, he said, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I see not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Okay, so now what do we do? How do we take heed of verse 17 there at the end, where it says it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not to do it? How do we take heed of that with this? So as we discussed, this is not like a quick, just do this today and this is going to change. This is a deep working in our heart that has to happen. But there's grace knowing that you and I can't make it happen on our own. God has to do this work in us, okay? But we're not left off the hook, okay? There are things that God calls us to do to help him, to move with him in this work, this process. Okay, so first off, I just want to address anyone here who's not a follower of Jesus, okay? Anyone here who does not follow Jesus today. The Bible reveals that there's one God, creator of heaven and earth, who created you out of a desire to share his love with you. Okay, and you belong to him. All of us belong to him. He alone is worthy of your trust, dependence, and praise. And through Jesus' birth, ministry, death, and resurrection, God has made the way possible for us to again have union with him by giving us new hearts that willingly trust and worship him. This is a free gift to all of us. Okay, and you can receive it today. This is the only way to have a renewed heart that we discussed today. And it frees us from this corruption of sin in us and allows us to follow Jesus as the true Lord of our lives. So if anyone is not a follower of Jesus, that's the first step. Okay, secondly, for anyone here who is a follower of Jesus, I want you to know that none of us have arrived at this that I talked about here today. Okay, having this humble, dependent heart on God truly desiring his plans over our own, this is a spectrum. Okay, all of us are somewhere on this spectrum. None of us have arrived. And so what can we do to aid in this process of moving further along the spectrum? Okay, number one, I think we have to ask ourselves some hard questions. So here they are. In planning and managing our actual day-to-day lives, are we practical atheists? I know that sounds harsh. Essentially what that means is, do we compartmentalize our lives? You know, do we not even consider God in different areas of our lives when we're planning or thinking? Or, you know, it's so easy for us to do that. You know, this is my realm, this is God's realm. Okay? Have we already decided with godless certainty what is going to happen in our lives, our families, our churches? Do we kind of already have it set that we think? Some more questions. Where in our lives do we need to remember and express our status as finite creatures before a sovereign creator? Where have we been presumptuous or boasting in our planning? Okay, so those are more surface level questions. Here's the last thing. As I shared, this is a deep work, so none of us can do this on our own, but there is a question we need to ask in terms of our hearts. Here it is. How well do you personally know who God is and who you are as his child? And when I speak of this knowing, this is not facts about God. This is a personal, relational knowing of who he is, like a husband knows his wife or vice versa. Okay, this is, again, a spectrum. Nobody has arrived at this knowing. This is a spectrum. But I pray we're all growing closer and closer to the high end of the spectrum, because having a true knowledge of who God is and a true knowledge of who you are as a child are the two most important beliefs you hold as a person. Okay, and to the measure you know these two things, to this measure you'll be able to joyfully trust in and depend on God in all things, including your plans. Now, how do we grow in this spectrum? How do we grow here? I think the first thing for all of us is confession and prayer. Like I said, none of us have arrived at this. And so the first thing is confessing to God that we fall short. Often we don't even desire him on a day-to-day basis. Okay, we don't desire the most desirable thing in the universe because our sinful heart just clouds that from us. So we confess that to God and we pray for God to reveal himself more to us and to change our desires. I think we also do well just to examine what we desire or take pleasure in our lives that might take us away from the things of God and knowing him. There's so many distractions. And so I think if we're really serious about knowing him and knowing who we are in him, we'll be willing to cut things out of our lives that don't help in that process. Okay? And put into practice things that foster communion with him, like solitude with him, prayer, Bible reading, fellowship with other believers, and serving other people. All of this allows us to work alongside God as he seeks to change who we are from the inside out and live seeking his plans in ways today. So again, I just want to thank you this morning for inviting me here this morning to share this message. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, even to get involved, you know, Old Fort isn't that far away from Toledo. And so if you want to get involved or learn more, my email, if you look on the back of the bulletin today, the notes section here in the corner is my email. My wife and I serve with Yes Ministries. And so if you want to go to that website, you can learn more about that. We send a monthly update out every month. If you want to get on that email list, you can email me at that address. And obviously at the end of the service today, you're more than welcome to come up and chat with me. So let me pray to close our service today. Father God, I thank you for this message in James. Lord, I thank you that you care about every aspect of our lives. You care that we are wholly devoted to you because you know that you are the most desirable thing for us. You created us, we are yours, and therefore we belong to you. So I pray that you would, again, move us closer along the spectrum of knowing you more, knowing who we are in you, and trusting in you in all things. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.